Praise God. If you're out of love, you have always been loved. No matter what, you've always been loved. You haven't been dumped on the side of the road and then that's it. Because Christ has always loved us. Amen? Always with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Would you want to be drawn with loving kindness? Praise God. I want to be drawn with loving kindness. Amen. Not by anything the devil does, because he doesn't draw. He wants to draw us with lies and old things and evil. And hate, you know, that's what he wants to draw us with those things. Amen. But we know that we've defeated all those things. We have victory. Amen. So loving kindness is how we're being drawn to him. Amen. It says, again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. O Virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. That's rejoice. That's praise. Amen? That's praise. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that with a watchman upon the mount about the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Lord our God. Praise God. For thus saith the Lord, sing. Sing with gladness. Praise. Sing with gladness. Praise God. For Jacob, and shout. Sing and shout with gladness. Praise God. Sing and shout with gladness. For Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye. Put it out there. You got a mouth. God's giving you the word. Use it. Publish it. Proclaim it. Praise God. Claim it. Proclaim it and claim it at the same time. Praise ye. And say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. But this is gladness. We have all those. Look at all that joy. Gladness. Shouting. Publishing it. We're praising and we're rejoicing. That's a rejoice. That's a person that has rejoice in their heart. Amen. That's a rejoiceful person because they're happy. They have the Lord. There's nothing else that they want. I see God has came and he's pulled me out of the mire and the clay. Amen. He's pulled me out of that horrible pit. He's pulled me out and redeemed me. So I have gladness. So I'm going to sing with gladness for Jacob. And I'm going to shout among the chief of the nations. If I'm going to be the loudest of the group. I'm going to publish it. It was the Lord that did this. Nobody else did. I didn't do it. It was the Lord. And I'm going to praise ye. Praise God. That's praise. That's gladness. That is hallelujah. That is someone who is cheerful. That's someone who has liberty. That's someone who loves God and you can't take them away from God. Amen. And they're doing everything. You singing? You never sang? You can sing. If you never weren't a public speaker, you now can publish it. Now you can speak. If you weren't somebody who knew how to dance, now you know how to dance and praise. And you can do all that with gladness. Amen? You can do all that with a smile on your face. Because the one that's watching is the one that is the important one. That's God. Amen? That's the one we're doing it for. Amen? Praise God. It says, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, then the woman with the child and her that travaileth together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way. Praise God, in a straight way. You're not walking crooked anymore. You're not walking blind. You're walking in a straight way by the rivers of living water. Amen. Praise God. So you're walking in a, hallelujah. That's the best way to go, in a straight way. Because if you're crooked and you don't have a map, then you're never going to get to where the water is, because you'll be off the map. Now you're walking right by it. You have a road map in a straight way. You're not confused. We're not confused. We're not lack of understanding. We're not blind and letting the world confuse us. Amen. We're standing in the word of God and we're walking in a straight way by the rivers of living water. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It says, in a straight wherein they shall not stumble. You won't fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why we have gladness. This is why we can praise. This is why we can publish it. This is it. Because we're not crooked. We're not. It's not two-faced. It's not crooked eye. You're walking in a straight way. We're standing in the word of God in a straight way. Amen. It's not confusing. We're getting the word broken down, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Pastor doesn't miss a beat. He gives us in a straight way, and we get the word. Amen? And we want more. Praise God. And then we have to stay by the rivers of water. Amen? It says there, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it. And you can now, you can declare it too. Amen? It says, declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd. Hallelujah. Do with his flock. You want to talk about your God. Here's what you can tell him. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he scattered Israel. I was scattered. I was blind. I didn't know what was going on in my life. I didn't know. But he gathered me. He pulled me out. He turned my life around when I didn't even know. He turned me around. And he's my father. He's my shepherd. Amen. And I will follow him till the death. You can't take me away from God. Amen. Praise God. That's what you say. That's your testimony. That's what you tell them. That's what you tell them. That's what you publish. Amen. You do it with gladness. You publish it. You declare it. Praise God. You claim that victory. Praise God. I like that word. You declare it. You claim it. You proclaim it. Amen. He says, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off. That means your voice will travel. Amen. It will travel. And say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him. So he gathered me and he's kept me. He's kept me ever since. And when I wake up, I know that I'm loved. Amen. I know I'm loved. Praise God. And he keeps me, and he's a shepherd to me and my family. Hallelujah. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing. And sing. Hallelujah. They'll sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together. Hallelujah. We're flowing together, singing. Is of the together of the goodness of the Lord. So we're not so different when we praise God. We're praising God. We're praising for the same thing. We're doing it together. And we're singing it in the height of Zion. And we're flowing together. We're flowing. So we may have different voices, different sounds. I may praise differently from you. But guess what? It's all flowing together. And we're sending up a sweet scent for God. Amen? I mean, hallelujah. This is good. This is good. Praise God. It says for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and for the herd and their soul. Hallelujah. Shall be as a watered garden. Hallelujah. You gotta laugh because sometimes it's like, boy, it makes sense when you read it and you go, wow. I see why when I was a quiet person, I see why I can be a little bit louder now. I can shout a little bit more, a little bit louder now. And I can smile a little bit bigger now. And I got a little pep, a little bit more of a pep in my step now. Because when I get up in the morning, I'm doing this. I'm shouting it. And I'm praising him. And then the rest of my day, my soul will be a watered garden. And they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Forever, everlasting, no more tears, no more sorrowing. Praise God. I tell you, that is awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. You don't have a reason to praise. Here's your reason. Here's your reason. Here's your why. There's your why. This is why you praise. This is why you rejoice. This is why you shed tears. This is why. Because he's pulled us out of the horrible pit. He's taken us from death to life. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And given us a comforter. So when I feel my spirit move, when I feel my spirit move, I know I'm alive in him. Praise God. This is why we praise. Amen. This is why the word praise is not a light thing. Praise is a strong thing. Praise is a joyous thing. Because he's pulled us out. And he's our father. Amen. And we love him. So praise God. Just be encouraged, saints. We got to be encouraged because we have a mighty move of God happening in our church and in our word. And I mean, look how our pastor is progressing. He's progressing with his surgery. I mean, praise the Lord for that. Praise God for that. Amen. I mean, and that is a blessing. And I mean, it's a blessing because we know the heart of our pastor and our sister Rosie, and their mind is being in the church and serving the Lord. Amen. And you know, all the formalities of the doctor, we, you know, that's, yeah, we got to go through those. But I mean, he hasn't missed a beat. Even if you went to visit him, his mind is still sharp and ready for the word. Amen. That's it. That's what we have to be. Amen. We have to lift a mighty roar for him, you know, just and really welcome him back and welcome Sister Rosie back. Amen. So just, you know, welcome you all tonight. And we want to get to the word and praise God. Stay encouraged. Sister Joni? Okay. So we just want to get our sister.
Relate to that, because today I was noticing last night that my garden was getting wilted and I began to panic, and I thought, oh my Lord, I gotta water that garden. When I saw that, I thought, praise God, because I just didn't water it a little bit, I watered it a lot. I wanted to make sure it had plenty extra water, and that's what we want, and that's what we're gonna get. Praise the Lord, because God is good. And his mercy endureth forever. So be thankful for the Lord. Be thankful to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm especially blessed, and I just want to magnify the Lord, because I just thank God, because, praise God, you know, I really want to thank God for this, because it's because of his mercy and his grace. My granddaughter, Amelia, wanted to come and hear me preach today, praise the Lord. And she wasn't feeling very well, but she says, no, I want to go. And so she took a four-hour nap today just so she could be here tonight. And I thank my God for that. Hallelujah! God is good. Woo! Praise the Lord. I just thank God because he's so good. He is so good to me. But I want to get on to the book of Ruth tonight like we had last week, because I praise God about this. Is just a really, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And I just want to recap a little bit, because remember, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. And after that, then Naomi's two sons die. And then they are in the land of Moab at the time. And Naomi brings back her daughter, Ruth, back to Bethlehem. And now Naomi is stricken poor and even wants to be called bitter instead of pleasant. Remember all that? But because of Ruth's obedience to Naomi, and things begin to look up for both Naomi and Ruth. And then also because Naomi has Boaz, who is a near kinsman redeemer, and they're there in her land of heritage where she is. So I want to get into the kinsman redeemer, because kinsman redeemer is really, you know, we think, oh, you know, redeemer. And this is what I used to, you know, it's like, okay, redeemer, he redeemed me from my sins, you know, he's my redeemer. But there's so much more to kinsman redeemer. We're going to praise God. And in the book of Ruth, it really is, once again, a love story. It really is a love story of Christ and the love of Christ for his bride, okay, and it goes about her redemption. And in the first two chapters, it talks about, and also Pastor, I want to mention too that Pastor had given me a book to read on Ruth, and so, you know, one of the things that he points out in this, which is true, that the first two chapters of Ruth, it's really, the subject is really about grace, but the last two chapters, the third and fourth chapter, really focuses on the security and safety and finding rest. And so, and there, I love this because, you know, it makes me think of, and I'm just going to read this to you. You know, we don't have to go there, but in Proverbs, I love this, one of my favorite scriptures. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe." And I love that because, you know, in Christ, we are safe and we are protected. We have security. But let's turn to now to go to Ruth and chapter 3. And let's read 1. Let's start at 1. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest,'" or in the sideline it says security, "'for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor.'" Now, I want to explain winnowing, because winnow means to separate out, that when you do, when you have harvest, you separate out the chaff, which is the good from the bad. The chaff is the undesirable things. I can relate it to, I don't know much about barley, but I would imagine the stalk of the barley is chaff, but also, like, think of it as a tomato. When you go, you have a tomato, and you see the vines that are attached to the tomato. Well, you're not going to eat the vine that's attached to it. So that would be like chaff. So it separates out the chaff. And we're not going to go there tonight, but I would encourage you to read this because it reminded me of Matthew 13. And you can write this down, 13, verse 24 through 30, and then also 36 through 43. And it talks about the wheat and the tares, and it explains it. And that would be a good thing to just go over as we're reading this. "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." The threshing floor is where they separate the wheat from the, you know, from the chaff, or the barley from the chaff, whatever the grain is from the chaff. "Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay there thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, 'All that thou sayest unto me, I will do.'" Once again, remember in the previous chapters how obedient Ruth was to Naomi? She continues to be obedient. "And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry or cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of the corn or the grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down." And once again, she did exactly what, you know, Naomi had told her to do. "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid," or what's that sideline? Startled. He was startled. And turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid." See, she already associated herself with him. "And spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman," or redeemer. So I want to go a little bit into, and I want to mention too that Naomi had in mind, what she had in mind was to seek the performance of Boaz, by Boaz, of a part of a kinsman. So she was, you know, she was concerned about Ruth going forth and seeking that Boaz would perform his duty, okay? And and in the Hebrew, a goel is a kinsman redeemer. That's that word goel is means kinsman or redeemer. Okay, and I want to give you a quick, also a goel or a kinsman redeemer, he is, his function is to protect and defend his family. And there's many aspects of that. I mean, there's so much to what a kinsman does. It's not, you know, there are many, many things, okay? So anyway, but to redeem, as a definition of redeem, means to buy back, to free what distresses or harms, to change for the better, to restore, to free from a lien by payment of an amount secured, as in real estate. And God willing, next week I'll get into that a little bit more. And so basically, we're going to learn what Boaz, what he is, who he is, and his really qualities that he shows as a kinsman redeemer. And it's just, it's beautiful. Praise God. So in the law of God, there is a provider for the impoverished by a goel or kinsman. And the function, one of the functions of a kinsman is to buy back a field sold out of the family. Okay, so I want to go to Leviticus 25 because, you know, I remember a pastor saying, you know, you just don't skip over these things. We need to really know the word and what it, the depth of it and what it really means. And go to Leviticus 25 and let's do verse 25. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. So that's the one of the things that the kinsman redeemer does, is he redeems or buys back a field or property, whatever it may be. He also will buy back a person who is sold into slavery, because if somebody becomes so poor that they can't support themselves, what do? They sell themselves as a slave, okay? So let's go, same chapter, Leviticus 25, let's go to 47. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself, or becomes a slave, unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Okay, praise God for that. Praise God. And I just want to mention, too, that the goel is also, he is a senior relative. He's very high up there in your relation. You know, there's ones that you go down the line to, you know, it's like your second and third and fourth cousin, you know, or whatever. But he's way, way up there. Okay, and then also one of the functions or things that he does is he cares for widows and orphans. And remember, if you remember in chapter 2, or I don't know if it was 1 or 2, I think it was 2, but how Boaz, when the reapers were reaping the barley harvest, when they were harvesting the barley, he told the reapers to take, let me relate it to tomatoes again. Like if you're picking a bunch of tomatoes and you've got, and you're, you know, going to put them in the box to put them on the truck to ship them out, you take, instead of taking those tomatoes and put them in the box, you take those tomatoes and you stack them up in the field just right there where it's very obvious that those are good tomatoes, and you leave them there. And that's what he did. He took the barley and he told them, the reapers, let even extra fall out. And so that when Ruth came, she was able to glean even more. And then remember, Naomi goes, where have you been today? Praise the Lord. And that's what a kinsman redeemer does. He protects the widow. He protects the poor. Woo! And we are poor and needy, aren't we? Praise the Lord. So praise God. And I want to go for that. I want to go, let's go to Proverbs 23:11. 23:11, and I'll go there real quick. It says, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he shall plead their cause with thee. Okay, so, and, you know, a kinsman is very, very mighty. And I want to go back to Ruth real quick, because as you recall in, let's see, where is that? Let me check this real quick, where he is. He is mighty. I think it's, where is that in? Is it chapter 2? Yes, 2:1. There we are. And Naomi, this is Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man, hallelujah, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz, praise God. And our God is mighty, right? He is mighty to save, praise God, hallelujah. And then let's also go, I love this because, you know, we're really learning really what Redeemer, kinsman, what it entails. It's a title, it's a responsibility, it's a characteristics, and it's, you know, it's a function of what they are and what they're supposed to do, praise God. So in Jeremiah, what did I say, 50, Jeremiah 50 and verse 34 says, Jeremiah 50:34, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause or their case, and he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon, or the enemies, represents our enemies. Praise God for that. That he does that. He quiets our enemies. Praise God. And then also, he's also able to marry the widow, and he marries her to carry on the family lineage, to carry on the family name. So there's a lot to what he does, praise God. And also he also is a redeemer of the blood. He also takes vengeance when the law fails. He's also, in other words, he makes sure, praise God, he makes sure that if something is wrong, he's going to go out and he's going to find whoever, you know, defiled the family. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love it. Praise the Lord. So, and now I'm going to go to, because, like I said, Pastor asked me to read, you know, this book, and so I did, and I'm going to read from a page in the book, it says, in God's arrangements of Israel, we can see clear indications of what his plan was in creating man and placing him in the earth. The earth was man's inheritance, for the earth hath he given to the children of men. But man lost his possessions through sin, and hence the matter of redemption is one of great importance for him. If he realized the facts of the case, he would be anxious to know all about the law of redemption. He would also be most anxious to learn whether there be for him a redeemer able to deal with the situation. And the questions arise, is man himself able to redeem? The natural man considers himself well able to redeem the inheritance. He has been going about it in his own way for some thousands of years, and notwithstanding the uniform failure of all his gigantic efforts, he seems as full as ever of self-confidence. And that reminds me, I hope I can find that real quick, Psalms, I think it's 47, 49, about redeeming, that no one can redeem. Let me see here. Here it is. It's Psalms 49, verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. That includes himself. We can't do it for the other. You can't do it for, they're gone. They're dead and gone. They're gone. And they cannot be ransomed by anybody. And no, even if they're alive, they can't be ransomed by anybody. It's only by the grace of God and by his mercy and grace can they be redeemed, praise God, that God paid the price for that. Hallelujah. And praise God, I'm going to read another section of the book also that says, for it to be noted, the law as it operated ordinarily imposed the obligations of redemption upon those only who were already kinsmen by nature. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was not a kinsman by nature, no legal obligation to redeem rested upon him. It was of grace alone that he placed himself in a position where he became obligated to do the part of a kinsman to all who would seek him in their need and who would accept by faith the service which he offers to perform all men everywhere. There is another circumstance noted in the book of Ruth, which, though seemingly of slight importance, yet illustrates truth of deep interest. We refer now to the fact that Boaz was not the next of kin. But, as Naomi said to Ruth, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Boaz, in acknowledging his own kinship to these poverty-stricken widows, said, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I." Whom does that nearer kinsman represent? This is an interesting point into which we purpose to inquire in a later chapter. Praise the Lord. So in other words, it's like, and then there's the rest of the story. Praise the Lord. So we're gonna learn about that. But I praise God and thank God for that. And pray, give the Lord a praise, you guys. Isn't that awesome? To learn about the kinsman redeemer, and I just want to go back to I can't help it when Brother Kobe talked about Jeremiah 31 and verse 12. Let's go back there. Jeremiah 31, 12. Hallelujah, because we have a kinsman redeemer who's done all those things for us. He's done all those. His name is going to be written in our forehead. His lineage is going to go on because he redeemed us. He's our kinsman redeemer. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory! Praise our God! Praise our God! Thank you, Lord God! Thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God, for you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Woo!
'Twas in Ruth. He did. Because she had a purpose in her life to do the work of God. And thank you, Lord, that, you know, we noticed that. I noticed that in this right here as I was reading it. And I said, you know what, God? You are so good, because you know what? She had no clue what was going to happen, because she just decided to hang on with her mother-in-law. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. And the other one left. Uh-huh. She lost her blessings because Ruth got the blessings. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. According as she was chosen in him, according to the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And you know what? That right there reminded me of her as she was obedient. You said it, Joni? She was obedient, and she was just trying to do the work as what her mother-in-law was guiding her, instructing her and all that. So that then from there we're going to go to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. We're going to go to Galatians 4, amen. 11. Galatians 4, 1. 1. Yeah, and it says, "Now I say that the heirs, as long as he is a child, different from a servant, whom he is Lord of all." And you know what? Who was the child? To me, like Naomi was, to me, she looked like the child that she didn't know anything what was going to happen. She was like a child being instructed, taught. Okay, and it says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed to the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage, weren't we? We were. We were blind as a bat under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. She received it. She received it. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of the spirit of his son unto your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Yeah. She probably didn't even know what she was doing, but you know what she was doing then in the spirit? But you know, in the spirit. But you know what? If you go, if this right here where it says that number two, the verse two, it says, but it's under tutors and governors. Okay, if you go back to Ruth over there, if you go back to Ruth, and it says there, praise the Lord, she was being instructed by Naomi, her mother-in-law. You know, she clung to her mother-in-law because most likely her mother-in-law loved her, and she loved her mother-in-law. But you know what? She was going for a higher level. She was going higher, not knowing, you know, that I believe that the Lord was taking her. Not knowingly, but you know what? She was obedient. And that's the thing that got her there, the obedience of her spirit, the humbleness, the way she loved Naomi. And she got, this is there, Naomi instructions. Naomi gave her instructions. She was her tutor. And she followed everything that Naomi instructed her to do. And I just love that because we are to follow the same thing, is because pastor is not a tutor, but he's more than a tutor. And yeah, when we go back that way over there in the back, they tutor us. What we don't know here, we didn't get it. Well, over there, we open up questions. So we are being able to really comprehend it, right? It opens up a whole different picture. We begin to know more, you know. And I love that because, you know, that's what is showing me. This word here is showing me what I to do. Okay. So anyway, Naomi was instructing her in the way she needs to go. And she did exactly like she said, like it says in the book, she was obedient to do exactly what Naomi was telling her to do. That was her instructions from Naomi, the tutor. That's what I took it as, you know what I mean? And so now we go to, from there we go to, where do we go? Okay, we go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Where are you at, Isaiah 40? It's all about God showing us, tutoring us, teaching us. Pastor is teaching us. He is a mighty, mighty man of God. Pastor is. And so I just give the Lord praises because, you know, we're under a good covering. And we are to be obedient like this young girl was. You know, as he's telling us things, well, obey. It'll take us to a higher level like she got there. So anyway, it says there on Isaiah 40, 20. He says, he that is so impoverished that he hath no ability, chosen a tree that will not rot. And that was her. She showed that, didn't she? Yeah, he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a grave image that shall not be moved. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. I mean, to me, like when I read that, I said, wow, Lord, you know what? We're going to be steadfast, unmovable. Yeah. Unto him, as we're going, glory to him, glory to glory, we'll get there. And you know what? Don't lose hope, because that's where I stand right now. Sometimes I kind of lose it, but I says, no. The Holy Spirit tells me, no, stand fast, unmovable. Stand fast, unmovable. Look at me. And when I ponder those kind of things, it kind of like slows me down, you know my speed. Well, I slow down, knowing that God is in control and he's directing my steps and the way I need to go. And I give you the glory and the honor, Lord. And I thank you, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah! I praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
partakers of the divine nature of God. He left us with so much, and he redeemed us from the law. As you quoted the scripture, the Lord is a tower. The righteous run in. He's a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And he's our safety. Amen. Christ is our safety. He is our shield and our buckler. And we run to the rock. Amen. And Christ is the one who covers us with himself. He covers us as as Ruth was covered. Amen. He covers us with his robe of righteousness. Amen. And he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy as we read the scriptures. Great is the Lord. For he is good in his mercy and do it forever. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. For he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. He is our kingsman redeemer, and he fights for us, and he is our defense. Amen. How did he redeem us from the hand of the enemy? Hebrews 2:14. Put that up. For such as the children partook of flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same, that he might destroy him that have the power of death, that is the devil. He redeemed us from the power of the enemy. What a redeemer that we have. Put the scripture up there. And therefore, Hebrews 2:14. 2:14. I've turned into my scriptures now. For as much as then as the children partook of flesh and blood, he also himself, Christ, our kinsman redeemer, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that have the power of death, that is the devil. He is our defense. Amen. He's the one who protects us from the hand of the enemy. He's redeemed us from darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. Next verse. How did he do it? Next verse. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We were once in fear. But how did he redeem us? He did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, come on, of love, and of a sound mind. Come on. He done this by his spirit, by his blood. He said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He has redeemed us. Next verse. It says, for verily he took not on him that had the nature of angels, so he didn't take on that nature. Come on, but he took on the seed of Abraham, his brethren. Come on, he is our brethren. He took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all these things behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Come on. Woo! He says that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. This is awesome. In pertaining things pertaining to God. Praise God, to God. To make reconciliation. How did he do it? By his blood for the sins of the people. Come on. Our kinsman redeemer made reconciliation for us. He says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted, or he's able to aid them. He's able to give, to leave everything in the field that they may glean. Come on, that they may live, that they may eat and live, that they will not die, that he's protecting. He's able to secure them. And how did he do it? He did it by his own blood. He redeemed us. Hallelujah. By his own blood. Praise God. And not only that, how did he redeem us? Praise God. He redeemed us by his spirit. The scripture says in John, to them that believe gave he the power to become the sons of God. Praise God. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. And the scripture also reads, and I think go to Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Luke chapter 10. Verse 18, hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, praise God. It says, and he said, And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Come on, I beheld Satan. Verse 17, scripture before, right before that. Come on, read it out loud. And the 70 return with joy. Come on, with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Come on, through thy name. So they were given the name. Come on, to them gave he power to become the sons of God under that name. So he gave us a new name. We partook under our kinsman redeemer under his name, Christ. Next verse. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Next verse. Behold, I give unto you, I'm going to have to go to that. Behold, I give unto you power, come on, power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Come on, for he has, come on, Jesus. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, because he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Come on, by his blood, and he's given you the power. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in you, your kinsman redeemer. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I will be with you even until the end. He said, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on, next verse. By any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice. Come on, Jesus. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. So Christ is teaching them. He's showing them. Don't rejoice in that. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirit are subject unto you. Why? Because they got their judgment. It's already written. They're already in chains of darkness. They got the lake of fire. Don't worry about that. But here's where the joy comes. Come on. Here's where the rejoicing lies. Here's where the joy comes. Praise God. I got to get my, because everything is going out. The TV going out on me. But I'm rejoicing in this. Come on. He says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Come on. Our kinsman redeemed us, has redeemed us. Hallelujah. From the hand of the enemy. He provided everything to overcome, and he's given you the power over all power of the enemy. That we not rejoice because spirits, the enemy is rattling hallelujah, my God. He said, notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Come on. Your name, hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Your name is written in heaven. And it says, in this hour rejoice. In that hour, Jesus, come on, rejoiced in spirit. Jesus rejoiced. Hallelujah. He rejoiced with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, there was a unity. There was a joy that happened. Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. Come on, they're getting it now. Come on, hallelujah. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Has revealed them unto babes. Hallelujah. come on, and out of the mouths of babes and suckling, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies. Come on, to steal the enemy and the avenger. He's given you the power over all the power of the enemy. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Hallelujah. It seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come on. And he's revealing them to you and I. Hallelujah. He's revealing, praise God. He's revealing God in you. He's revealing the word in you. Praise God. That redeeming word. The word of life. Hallelujah. That redeems us. And he says, and he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see things that ye see. Come on. Come on. Come on. The eyes of your understanding has been enlightened. That Christ is our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Christ has provided everything for us. He washed us and redeemed us with his own blood. Our eyes are open. Come on. That in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every devil is subject unto you. But rejoice not in that. But rejoice that your names is written in heaven. Come on. Your name has been redeemed and written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Is that it says, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye have heard and not heard them. Praise God. But blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your ears. Come on. Because you've seen. Hallelujah. And you've heard. And now rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Hallelujah. For our kingsman redeemed us, has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. He's redeemed us from the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. And he brought us into the house of God. He's brought us into Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Where the spirit of just men are made perfect. And we have a right to rejoice. We have a right to praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. We have a right to lift up our voices because what he has done for us. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our Savior. Our Redeemer. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on. Let's give the Lord a praise, saints. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So we thank God for what he's done for us. He redeemed us from under the law. Hallelujah. And he made you and I to be seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. With him. Praise the name of the Lord. So we thank God for wonderful messages that we received today.